Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show. It is Wednesday, another Wednesday, on the 20th of January. My name is Eric Payne, also known as The Sun. Just doing a little adjustments, if you can hear that. And you have reached the K Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Eric Payne, one of the co-hosts, The Sun, and you are?
I am K Thompson Payne. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, Eric, we're going to start with a lot of terrible stuff going on. You know, especially about the wall. Have you seen the beginnings of the wall that President Trump, has started building?
Yes.
And people are really very, very frightened of it. As a matter of fact, a lot of the radio stations, some of the people are concerned that they're calling it. And I don't know what's going to be happening, but it's very, you know, it's just, they're terrified. They're terrified of the president, from President Donald Trump, and different crackdowns, even in their jobs. They don't know what to do, where to go, or what's exactly going to be happening.
Right. Yeah, if I can, I just want to maybe we could backtrack a little bit. Since the last time we were on the air, we didn't have a President Trump. Last time that we were on the air, we still had Barack Obama. As many of you know, last Friday was the inauguration of Donald Trump, in which he, true to form, didn't really give an uplifting, unifying speech, didn't try to talk to the people that didn't vote for him and say, you know, hope I can earn your vote. He proceeded to denigrate the previous administration, talking about American carnage and the gangs running wild in the street, and as if all this stuff had gone bad during Barack Obama's presidency, which was really, you know, it's just more Donald Trump being a jerk. If many of you follow me on Facebook, you know what I really think about him. Obviously, I'm not going to use that language right now in front of my mom, but if you've seen my post, you know what I think about Donald Trump. And he proceeded to lie, which is his thing, about the size of the crowd in there that attended his inauguration, and also the size of the crowd that, you know, he didn't like the fact that there are more people that came out for Barack Obama, so of course he lied about it, which is his MO. He's the lying president. This is going to be the lying presidency, the presidency of alternative facts. If I don't know how someone could say that with a straight face, but hey, God bless him. And we also have the next day, almost several million people across the country and across the world that decided to march. Women joined the Women's March, a march in protest for women's issues. Many of them were in protest to Donald Trump and his policies that, in terms of health and Planned Parenthood, things like that, that directly kind of affect or hurt women. And just his general, just being the type of individual that he is, a hate monger. So the next day, when there are obviously a whole lot more people that were there for that march in D.C. that came to the inauguration. In fact, I heard that some of the, you know, a lot of the rooms that were booked for the night were booked for the march the next day as opposed to the inauguration. So that was kind of an in-passing kind of news thing. But so Mr. Trump takes issue. First, if you follow his tweets, first he tweeted out how people were being disrespectful, some idiotic stuff, and then he tweeted that again when he realized he was being a real jerk, that how the women, these people were exercising their rights as democracy. Let's bring in our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
All right, Eric, how are you?
All right.
And Kay.
Doing quite well.
Good, good, good.
Second.
Yeah, It's been already an exciting week. I don't know how. I shouldn't say exciting is not the word. I guess interesting week.
Why?
Hello. No, just all that is going on with our new president and the colossal changes that he promised to make, he's now beginning to put into effect. And, you know, I'm just taken back that, you know, just the overall feeling of what's coming out of D.C. these days is just so contradictory. It defies logic. And even though I've heard some pundits say that, you know, some things that he's doing is going to be, you know, the good for the betterment of the country with respect to work and things like that, you know, and there's also the theory that, you know, the some of the things that he's already proposed that Obama tried to push through to encourage employment here, he couldn't get through because of the Republican Congress. Well, now we have, you know, one of theirs is sitting in the White House, and the Congress is largely Republican. A lot of things are going to get rubber stamped and passed through. Unfortunately, it would only reflect the Republican agenda. And all the more reason for all of us to come out and demonstrate, to check him on everything that affects, you know, our world with respect to voting rights, entitlement. I mean, I just find it, you know, inconceivable that he's still talking about the fact that he didn't win the popular vote, that he's calling for an investigation on that he's going to waste government money on something that only satiates his ego, and that's it. It's not enough that the process allowed him to be elected as president. He still has this venom and what looks like animosity and just outright hatred for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, and then all this series of executive orders that he threw out here today. I just find it baffling. You know, I mean, we cannot afford to rest on our laurels now.
Yeah. Right. You know, I find it fascinating that a lot of people are just not, you know, not responding, although I have heard that more women are organizing. More women groups are organizing because of the fact that they see that there's danger to what he is doing with the federal government, with some of the things that he has, you know, is trying to put into place. For instance, the wall. What about the wall? Is that really pictures of the wall being built? Or what? In the illegal tweets, the federal workers are terrified at this particular point. At this particular point in time, also.
Because many of them there's been a freeze on hiring.
Wayne, if I can, before you proceed, I just want to do it in chronological order, because there's so much that has happened that this guy's been doing in the last 3 days since he's been in office. So many things to talk about. If we could go kind of in a chronological order. At this point, I want to bring in our other kind of recurring guest of ours, Mr. Byron Saunders. Hello, Byron. Let's say hello to Byron. How you doing?
Well, my friends, hello. Happy New Year. And, hey, it's another blessed day in paradise. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, where, Byron, we're talking about, as you've been listening, I know you've been on for a minute, you've been listening. So
yes.
We talked about, we were discussing, you know, that the guy getting inaugurated, talking about American carnage and gangs in the street and all this, very divisive inauguration speech, an empty, pretty much, inauguration room where nobody was really in the stands to wave at this guy. He had a lot of protests, as did George Bush. Then we had the next day the Women's March, who outshined his inauguration in terms of numbers. They not only outshined him, I believe, and all across the country, but the fact that President Obama got more numbers than him. And then we go to him lying and Sean Spicer not really giving a press conference, but just giving kind of an angry, the guys are angry because the numbers, nobody's believing their numbers, and they want to make up these lies and nobody's believing them. And now, as you said, Ma, bringing it up to what we talked about, still talking about the numbers, wanted to make it now that it's illegal aliens that have voted,
yeah.
not to mention the wall and all these things. What's your thoughts on that, Byron? I know you have something that you probably want to put your sense in.
Sure. The thing that I'm interested in now, as my mentor, one of my civil rights mentors, the late, great Reverend Hosea Williams said, I hear what you say, I only see what you do. And in days, let's see, starting from Saturday and Friday, the inauguration, and him taking the office, since then, and as in a chronological order, and I think it's right to and appropriate to start grading the president from day one, so that we understand on Saturday, there was a national disaster, deaths in Mississippi and in Georgia as it related to the tornadoes. It took 3 days for the administration to address itself and show compassion for those lives lost. Now, here's the difference. The Obama administration was very quick to respond to every national emergency and disaster. But our president, Trump, instead is more concerned about how many people showed up at his inauguration than he was yeah. about getting on the airways and showing the world and the nation leadership. All right, I get it. You know how to fix it, President Trump. You are this person who's going to lead us into make America great again, but you must show leadership in the moment of crisis. And thus far, your report card is showing a big F. There has been a death in a mall. There has been national a crisis with respect to weather and destruction. And I'm going to tell you, I watched his press conference with Homeland Security today, and he finally addressed the tragedy in Mississippi and in Georgia. But he also brought up FEMA. Now, I did 5 months of post-Katrina work in New Orleans. And FEMA, we all know about CP time, colored people's time. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. FEMA's got a worse record than CP time. In fact, the joke then back in 2005 when I did 5 months of post-Katrina work was that FEMA takes longer to answer their emergency calls and 911 calls than CP time. That should
well,
tell
I tell you, if you don't mind, Byron, Wayne here, I'm sorry to interject,
sure.
but I just wanted to throw this out. I'm glad that you raised that point about FEMA, because FEMA, for instance, was severely cut under the previous Republican administration. That's why they weren't prepared for Katrina. I go back. Not to say that I want to invoke the memory of what Kanye West said about George W. Bush, you know.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, there is a nexus, if you will, between what went on then and what's happening now. The Republicans are back in charge. Trump is basically a businessman, and he has control of all. He has the attention of all these industries. And in as much as FEMA is a government agency, they work hand in hand with the insurance companies. For instance, I was a victim of Sandy, and if I filed a claim with FEMA, all of a sudden my rates with my insurance company, because I filed a claim, it's almost like as if I had stained my record by asking for help.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And what
yeah.
I find so interesting and disingenuous about this is that the government is not discussing basically what goes on with that, and that's why you constantly hear people complaining after all these years. Sandy happened like 3-4 years ago. There's still people out there homeless because of the situation, because they're not getting
exactly.
help out of entity, either FEMA, because they're like overwhelmed, and the insurance companies don't want to pick it up. But let me tell you, every insurance company office I've ever visited looks like the freaking Taj Mahal. Explain that.
Well, one thing is certain, Wayne and Eric and Kay, is this. given the timeline again, and I think you have to grade the president's record by the timeline, not to cherry pick it, because as a leader who saw more women, not just in America, show up in Washington, D.C., that showed up at his inauguration, but now the world, the global community, is saying to the world's most powerful leader, you have got to do something to show us that you are a leader. And this is where we have to go back to, because from now on, now forward, everything is yesterday's story. Today, how did he deal and handle with the crisis of the moment? And at this point, he is not acknowledging that women have made a declaration to him. And here's what's scary, guys, because there are some women out there who have more balls, counties, than men. And at the point at which there's this ultimate look for the world to take a look at, where you have on one side the police or the sheriffs or the National Guard, and on the other side you've got these women who are out there staring them down face to face, nose to nose, and at some point, God forbid, the world sees police and men beating up on women.
Let me tell you something. The women haven't even started yet, okay?
That's right.
Now, there are loads and tons of them out there. But you know one thing? Donald Trump is in for a rude awakening, okay, because the women are gathering. They are, you know, organizing, you know. We're not doing it, you know, in such a loud fashion, but it's being done. And he is going to be, you know, the recipient, you know, of this whole negative feeling that he himself is putting out. He is not dealing with, you know, some crucial, you know, areas. Women are wondering about what they're going to do. Listen, some of them are pregnant. They're losing their, you know, insurance. All of that. I can't even imagine a world like this. You know, it's just so unbelievable. It's unbelievable that a man like Donald Trump is president of the most powerful, you know, country in the entire world. I mean, it's just incredible. It's mind-boggling, really, even to say or to think about. So I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is there's a lot of angry women out there, and they're getting angrier and angrier.
Let me say it really quickly. Let me point this out. You know, what you talked about, Byron, is really, you know, like every day is a new day. What's past, Shakespeare said, what's past is prologue, right? So we know how this guy has behaved in his past. We can kind of get a trajectory or a perspective of how he's going to behave in the future. And it still is the same behavior of, I think that his perspective really is to the victor. He said to the victor goes the spoils. And when he talks about that we should have taken Iran's oil. And I think he has that mentality about winning the presidency. An invading army that came and took over to Washington, and he's going to do what he wants to do. Secondly, also, too, Wayne, which, and Byron, you're both talking about experiences with FEMA and things like that. This is the reason why people hate government, because it is inherent in human nature that someone is going to do something a little underhand, and someone's going to be tempted to do things dishonest. That's just human beings. So when you have human beings in various positions, these things happen. They get magnified, of course, when they're in a position of great responsibility that affect other people's lives, right? So when you have someone who's like Donald Trump is doing, appointing people to run agencies that have no experience at all in these agencies, you know, and W did that with his boy Michael Brown, if you remember back in the day, who had no experience running any type of emergency management system, and that's why they left black people swinging, twisting in the wind for a work week. People want to say 5 days, 7 days, however, that's a work week. That's Monday to Friday. People don't get their paycheck. That they left people twisting in the wind. And that's inherent, you know, their graft, their greed, the kind of underhanded, you know somewhere along the line, when you have big sums of money that are passing through a lot of hands and a lot of people need to sign off on it, somebody has figured out a way or can see a way with which they can siphon off some of that money. And I believe that's what happened clearly. That's what happened in Katrina. That's what happened with Sandy here. As you said, Wayne, there's still people here, both where in New York and New Jersey, that their claims have not been paid.
Exactly.
And when you have that type of money, you have individuals that are willing
to do underhanded things, as we know many people do in powerful positions, not only in politics but in business and various other, all across the board, every aspect of human endeavor. It's just magnified because it's government and big business, and it affects so many more people, right? And you expect someone who puts their hand on the Bible and raises their right hand and said, I will look out for your best interest to the best of my ability. You expect them to do that. Except when you have someone who you already know who is suspect, who's a liar, who will make stuff up. And in these people's hatred, in their hatred, they went ahead and said, this is my guy, because he forced Obama to show his birth certificate, or because he did this or did that. But they don't understand that they're going to be the first ones to pay for that wall. Well, if you look at some articles, I post articles on my Facebook page, that there are articles breaking down the Trump tax plan, which said that the people that are going to get screwed the most, the biggest tax cuts are going to go to the wealthy, right? The people that are going to get screwed the most are single parents and families with dependents of three or more children. They will have to pay more in taxes, okay? So all these people who are ignorant enough to vote for this man, now you're going to get screwed around. And now the fact that not only are we talking about the wall and all this that you mentioned, Mom, but he's talking about the taxpayers are going to be the ones that are going to initially have to pay for it, and we'll get it back from Mexico in a very complicated way. Now, I didn't vote for this guy. You mean to tell me I got to pay for this wall that you idiots voted for this guy to get into? I think that all Trump supporters should pay for the wall. How about that?
You wouldn't even get a farthing out of them.
You know, I mean, this is lunacy. This is utter lunacy.
It is.
And I just want to say one last thing real quick about the Women's March. A friend of ours, Jonesy, posted a meme of Hillary saying, where the hell were all you bees before the election, on election day? And that's a valid question. It was a meme. You know, they have those memes where they take the pictures and they put
right,
a little
right,
saying
right.
or whatever. But that's a valid question. All you women wanted to come out on the Women's Day of Action. Now you're all mad because the man is going to mess with you. Planned Parenthood, right? But you weren't there the day when you could have done something about it, because many of you just couldn't bring yourself to vote for Hillary, so you voted for the bigger liar, because they wanted to make Hillary out to be a liar. But politics has always been the lesser of two evils. That's the nature of a two-party system, right? So so black people, we've always had to go, we talked about this before, black people, we've always had to go with the lesser of two evils, who's going to be most sympathetic to our needs and to our plight in America. So a lot of people, when they chose to just check out of this election because they couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary, they weren't considering what the alternative was. And I say this time and time again, whenever America catches a cold, black people catch pneumonia. Yeah. So we can't afford to check out and not vote because Hillary might not be the exact one we want. Look up the alternative. So a lot of people look up the alternative, and then to come out and march after the fact, that's a valid point. Where were you chicks on election day? So, you know,
go ahead. Eric, I think you're hitting the right nail and the right nerve on the head. And ultimately, in answer to the where were you, as it relates to and moving from this day forward, what is being said loud and clear by women, not just in this country, but around the world?
Exactly.
Think of this and put it into the context of around the world, because of the five most important, most powerful nations on the planet, two of them are being run by women, Great Britain and Germany.
Germany.
Okay, that's right. Now, in placing that into context, sitting down at the table of power that has mostly been about men, that power and about men has been about bullying. Men's position of war is from a position of bullying. And now women are, because we've messed it up. We've messed up the planet very good, us men. My men friends, we have done a good job of screwing it up. But now women are saying, in order for it to get right, the balance in nature is we got to come behind you and clean up your mess, because it's a mess out here right now. And that's globally, not just in America. Now, the That's what
Brother
Obama
was trying to do with George Bush.
That's right. And with respect to all the women who participated in the global protest, is saying to the world's most powerful leader, we got a problem with you, and you're going to have to deal with us. And we're going to be out there from your first day to the end, and you're going to have to prove to us that you are worthy of being called our leader. And so, should you not be worthy, we're going to be in your face, and we're going to confront you from day one till you man up and show respect to us. The women's revolution, and here's something for all of us to consider, is that there are really, globally, there are more women than there are men. Now, does anybody remember the play written by Aristophanes 2,000-some years ago called Lysistrata? Because it was the same issue back then that Aristophanes was writing and saying that the men of Sparta and Greece were doing and engaging in nothing but war after war, campaign after campaign of conflict and war after war. And the women said, our men need to be home because we're lonely. We need to have our men. And guess what? The women got together and said, guess what? If you don't stop the war and the violence, you don't get no sex.
That's where Spike Lee got that from, huh? that's the basis of Spike Lee's last
film. That's right. And that was in Greece over 2,000 years ago. So what point have we missed along the way in which men who have been in this, especially this country in the United States, I'll be 67 years old. I mean, your mom, Eric, and I, and Wayne, we're the senior citizens on this crew. And
I'll get sex now.
And combined, we have a knowledge of knowing this country's expenditure on war efforts has been 60-some years. It's time to stop.
Taking Byron this into a completely different direction. You know, this sounds like an Oprah moment.
You have to laugh. You really have to
laugh.
Yeah.
Because the fact that when I saw that Trump was running, it was like a comedy, I'm telling you. And I said, now women could do this better, easier, faster, and still be sexy. So what do the men do? They goof it up again. Then you have a guy
who's
taking him seriously. We don't take him seriously. So therefore, since he's going to be such a hardhead, then we have to teach him a lesson. Remember, women are first. So we have to start organizing even more than before. And I have news for you guys. It is happening now. Okay?
That's right.
In women's organizations, they are more. They are getting ready to really, I don't know what they're going to be doing, but everybody is angry, you know? And actually,
yes,
they're angry with the men from.
They, you know, the whole war thing, I agree with you about the war, but also it's been about that supremacist. It is from a bully perspective, a supremacist.
Yeah.
We're going to take, like Trump said, we should have taken the oil, which flies in the face of the Geneva Convention when you are at war with a country. You know, but this is the mentality of certain types of individuals, not all individuals, but certain types in a particular ethnic group. And if we look back through history, they have committed vicious and atrocious acts against people of color all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And many times these individuals have done it in the name of their country, like Great Britain and Europe carving up Africa in the early 1900s or 1800s. You can look at these videos on YouTube and documentaries. You know, the glorious thing about the internet now is that you can see documentaries from other parts of the world that the BBC has done, where they break down the racism and the conquering and the genocide and the eugenic system and breaking down. You can see the history of Planned Parenthood, which at one time was the birth commission, and at one time, you know, we know Margaret Sanger was trying to help control those darker populations too, which was one of the also aspects or goals of her whole
crusade.
You know, I think the whole warring aspect is like we're going to go and take over. You know, the United States has been aggressive. You know, we like to present the facade, that we're not.
And then the other thing, Eric and Wayne and Kay, is that there must come a point where we don't only ask the world's most powerful leader, but all the leaders of the world, and ask this one simple, plain question. As a leader, your primary responsibility for leading your nation are to do five core human things. Protect and feed your hungry people. Clothe mm-hmm. your people who are naked. Shelter them with homes and give them affordable housing. Heal them when they are sick and give them hope. And if you're not doing that, how could you consider yourself to be a leader when only your concerns are your border, a wall, your military? You know, at the point at which leaders are not about war, it's about compassion and protection of your citizens. This is not just Trump's issue. It's the world's issue. And women are challenging the world on that level to all of their leaders.
Well, Byron, I have to admit, I agree with you. The only thing is that I think we're giving Donald Trump too much respect with regard to his education pedigree. He is changing. He is basically dumbing down the system to reach a certain particular segment of the electorate. I mean, we have the State of the Union address coming up. It's scheduled. He's calling it something else. You know, if the press does not agree with anything he's saying, he's, you know, inventing fake news. There is something very junior, sophomoric, when you juxtapose his level of intellect compared to the last person who held the office for 8 years. We're talking night and day here, man. You know?
We are indeed.
And it's just sad. I mean, and with respect to what Kay was saying earlier, I think it is high time that, you know, women take charge and take over. But I also know, and I had heard this earlier on from a lot of my journalist friends and, you know, who are very active in the community, they were saying up to a year ago that they didn't see a woman in that seat, you know, mm-hmm. and that anything was going to be done to thwart it. And I'm still thinking, even though she won the popular vote, you know, look what happened. You know, I mean, it's astounding. We have to accept this, but we can't let him get away with anything. We have to stay on him like white on rice. And I still think there's a God out there. There's a likelihood he may yet be impeached before the end of the 4 years. You know, I'm not asking for somebody to off him or take his life away. I'm just saying sooner or later there's going to be enough aggravation in what he's doing to inflict pain on people. You know, the fact that, you know, he wants to do away with these sanctuary cities, and he's talking about bringing the feds into Chicago to control the violence there. You know, I mean, it's – please. You know,
well,
you know,
you
I see insult added to injury. That
you know,
you are
you
saying
know,
it accurately
even,
because at the point at which when you say you're going to build the wall, and then you have a hiring freeze on federal jobs, you already contradicted yourself.
Right.
Because at some point, the public-private partnership of the wall is finding contractors who are going to work with the federal government, and then notice in Trump's presentation today at Homeland Security, he identified the immigrants that he's illegally crossing the border as migrants. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a migrant is someone who's hired to pick the fruits and the vegetables in our farms in the United States. They're not, they may be undocumented and documented, but guess what? It's Coca-Cola. It's some of those main corporations that you're in bed with that are hiring these migrants to pick those vegetables.
Exactly.
In those farms. He didn't.
Right.
These
All
are
right.
what migrants are.
Now listen, guys. All right, so we found out what the problems are, right? Okay.
Yes.
So now let's come up with something positive to do. What are the suggestions that you can make here on the radio to our listeners that will set us in a forward movement, you know, It's going to be of women, I'll tell you that right now. Instead of this forward movement to change things, in other words, to change Trump, to change the people of the world who are in charge, you know, because they're not interested in you, okay? They are not interested in you. They are interested in filling their pocketbooks, okay? Would you all agree with that?
I agree.
So now what? So now what happens now? In other words, we have to come up with a plan. You have to come up with a plan. I'm talking to all the women, you know, even organize more, you know, and force your men, if you can't force them, you know, entice them, you know, to, you know, set up different organizations and really, really make a difference, you know, because we have families to protect. We have families to feed. We actually, you know, have children to raise, and we want to raise them in a fashion that makes sense, you know, that they're going to be well fed, you know, well cared for.
I read something today I read something today that I found really interesting that's happening in Georgia, in one of the surrounding suburbs, DeKalb County. And what it established is that in Atlanta, which primarily is made up of Fulton County, Cobb County, Henry County, and Fayette County, in a couple of the counties where Fulton had unincorporated communities, what they did was they began to incorporate their communities so that they could take advantage of the wealth of their tax base. There is an African-American community in that DeKalb area, in particular, in which they have decided they're going to incorporate their community and actually move out of the county that's representing them right now to engage so that they get better access to their own tax base dollars. That's revolutionary, my friends.
Now, how are they going to do that?
By voting. To vote themselves out of the counties that they're represented and asked to be formally incorporated. But yes, it's a political reality for which they will create their community as a city.
Right.
So that they are then
acknowledged. They're probably a wealthy community because in order to do
you've got to be able to have some wealth management to it. But
right.
Ultimately, remember this, the Department of Justice breakdown of Ferguson and Baltimore engaged in acknowledging what Ferguson as a county was doing was siphoning off the wealth of the black community by imposing overly aggressive traffic tickets. You know, we know how they take our wealth out of our community. And so this is a community saying, no, let us bring that and keep our dollars in our community to help circulate the better care of our own community.
You have to have the income base, meaning that the per capita, the average, the per income medium has to be high enough where the community says, we generate enough income on our own.
That's right.
We generate enough revenue on our own. We're not going to have the county siphoning it off.
Yeah.
We have enough of a base here that if we recycle these dollars, we can make our own community thrive, and I think that's a brilliant thing, and maybe perhaps we can get back to those old communities that were viciously attacked. I'm thinking of the Rosewoods and the Tulsas, you know, these black Mecca communities that were viciously attacked by the jealous, racist white communities that lived around them that for some reason they weren't able to be as successful.
And that's my fear, because as soon as people of color band together, become successful in that effort, there's always some element about, you know, laying in the woodpile somewhere where they're looking to alter, you know, the destiny of whatever it is that they're trying to do, predicated on self-sufficiency. You know, the whole gentrification process that goes on in urban America, I mean, is the classic example of that. You know, we have to be. I mean, that's a good concept, and I don't know how they thrive. You know, because the world is a lot more complicated today, as you know, compared to how you know Oklahoma City with the Black Wall Street situation and Rosewood and all that. You know, I mean, it's so multifaceted, but I still think that the bottom line here is that we have to demonstrate and be vigilant about it.
You have to identify those parts of the community, those parts of a community that are going to be the ones that are vital to build the community and make it successful. Part of what that's happening too, in terms of not only siphoning off the money, the financial power, but also the political power, like in Texas, right? It was just found out, and I'm sure you got aware of this story, and maybe we talked about it last week. I don't quite remember if we touched upon it. But it was just found out that the Texas legislature, by I guess it's appellate or a higher level court, found that there in the voter ID laws that were passed by the Texas legislature and passed and signed by the governor there were found to be unfair, or found to disproportionately and intentionally target Black and Brown communities. And it was found that this court is finding that the Texas legislature did that intentionally. And they knew that it was going to affect Black and Brown people to cut back on their votes and cut away their voting rights, and they did it anyway. And so what was happening is that the Texas was appealing to a higher court, appealing this decision, right, while Obama was still in office. This decision was being appealed. It was going through. The decision was coming through. When Trump and his people came in, they asked for a hold on the final decision being made. So what they're trying to do is put their people in place, right? A new attorney general,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Put someone who's going to be more sympathetic to them,
yep,
that might have a different perspective to rule that, in fact, no, these legislatures didn't do that intentionally. It doesn't intentionally hurt Black and Brown people, and then they're going to get screwed out of their votes because everything is who you put in office. Right. That's why they didn't want to. That's why the Congress didn't vote on the Republicans held up the president's Supreme Court nominee.
Wait till you
get in the powerful position where you can control all these purse strings. And that particular issue was dealt with on Saturday when all the other smokescreen stuff was going on. And see, he's doing these little small things to flip over everything, just like DAPL, you know, the Dakota pipeline,
yeah,
that he
right.
paid for that to go through.
Sure.
You know, and that
oh, yeah.
President Obama put a halt on. You know, and these are the type of things that's gonna really fly in the face and take our country back to doing that. And also the hiring freeze that you talked about for federal workers. Yeah, you know who a lot of federal workers are, right? Where you can go get a job and not be discriminated against was the federal government was one of the main places where a lot of Black people, that's why you see a lot of Black people working in the post office. If you go to Washington, D.C., and you go to the Capitol, go to all these various places, you'll see a lot of Black people working in these places. So I just wonder, who is he really trying to hurt when these Republicans, when they say we're going to put a freeze on federal workers, you know, on federal employees? And it seems to be that there's a tax base, there's a revenue base there that they're trying to not only halt, trying to put the brakes on, but also trying to, you know, if you put a freeze on that money, right, that money gets freed up to go someplace else, and they can hide it and do that, like, you know, smoke and mirrors thing and put that money someplace else, right? So, I mean, this is really the trickiness of Donald Trump's. Not only does, you know, he wears people down trying to keep up with his lies. He got to correct all his lies. Now,
right.
Now the press, some press members are actually calling it falsehoods. You know, they're throwing around that term now. Instead of saying lie, we want to call it a falsehood. You know, and this is what, you know, Maxine Waters was being questioned by this chick, Katie Turr, the other day. And she was saying, you guys didn't really question, you didn't get on Donald Trump enough. And the girl was pushing back, said, yes, we were. I got to stop you there. If you allow them, if you allow the person like they're grilling Sean Spicer in the press room yesterday when he started talking about where did the president get these numbers? And if it says 3 million people voted illegally, how come he's not investigating that? Because that's a huge thing. Remember the woman was grilling him. Where did he get these numbers?
Yeah.
From reports he's seen. What do you mean from reports he's seen? We're just supposed to
take
his word for it. He presents no You know, and this is what he does. This is why he's trying to – this is why he put a gag order on people working for the EPA. When they were sending out those tweets the other day, and he put a gag order, said that people can't tweet stuff anymore. He's trying to do the Hitler thing, control all areas of the dissemination of information so then that he can create the narrative and do what he wants to do. That's why he resorted to Twitter and never have any press conferences, because then he could just make stuff up all the time and act like that's news.
Right, he's succeeded so far.
Wait a minute, I just said that in the very beginning. As soon as I heard him make his first speech, with his actions, his demeanor, just the way he looked, like I said it's Hitleristic, and that's exactly what it is. He's controlling and going to control as many groups of people as he can by any means necessary. And the only way to do this, to fix it, is to fix it in any way you can.
Right. And that's an interesting point. You talk about fixing it. I think that the distraction or the thing is that as he's calling for this investigation into voter fraud, right, really what they're trying to do, from what I think, is see where all the holes are and how they can, in fact, manipulate the system even more.
Mm-hmm.
So once you call for an investigation, right, you find out how exactly everything works.
Exactly.
Then you say, I know how we can fix this. You know?
I'm just hopeful that the Democrats are also watching what's going on, too, you know, because, I mean, the deal is we can't afford to have us, you know, sleeping at the wheel anymore, you know, or else we see another we'll see a two-term situation as opposed to one. And I happen to agree. I just feel that this is all part of a ploy. But, you know, at the same time, you're wasting our tax dollars by deploying an effort like this. And I also feel that you're globally giving the impression that you're unhappy under the terms on which you were elected president. The Constitution allows you to be, you know, considered by the Electoral College both candidates. That's why it was constructed. But the bottom line is that if you're going to dwell on the fact that your opponent won the popular vote and you didn't, you're wasting time. This is behind us now, all right? This is like Gore and Bush. It's behind us now. We don't want this to happen again, but let's focus on the things that are important to move this country forward.
But you know, Wayne, listen. You know, I think Donald Trump is having a ball with this. You know, he comes up with anything, and people are going for it. And all he does is sit back and watch. And it really
After a while, Kay, I mean, I don't think everybody's going to buy this smoke and mirrors nonsense.
Well,
after a while, it's going to be tired.
Bandwagon.
It's going to play itself out.
Yeah, that's why everybody better get on the bandwagon and get on their face, because he's going to play this. He's having a ball. He's watching it, okay?
I think he's trying to make
money. His personality, however, psychologically, his personality is so thin-skinned, and I think the attack that will be against him by way of Twitter, social media, will unhinge him faster than anything else. And whether the Republicans that are surrounding him can hold on to the structure that they're trying to create will be quite interesting, because usually the president gets 100 days. Well, this president's honeymoon ended 12:10 on his inauguration day, as they were looking at all those women about to come into that city and ultimately make a statement of purpose and clarity that now he has to stop playing his three-card Monte game and actually begin to show us that he can lead. Like I said, the proof is in what you do. You can say all that you're telling us, but if those jobs don't start hiring for that build that wall, and you're not hiring the needed extra immigration forces to engage what you're asking for, you're just giving us tap dancing 101 and telling us it's all going to be okay, and it's still not being done. And it's like I said, he's for his first 6 days in office, he gets an F with respect to the crises that have already taken place under his regime. He has yet to respond in terms of sending any monies. You know, at least we got something in the Treasury that you can send to these people. The gun situation at the mall where someone was killed, it has yet to be addressed, and it's a gun issue. So I mean, you got to show real leadership now, President Trump. You know, I don't want to hear any more about your bombast. Show me your leadership. Show me that you know what you're doing. Otherwise, get out of the way.
Well, I hope he gets out the way.
And you have to have faith in what you see. And this is, comes down to faith too, guys. You know, we have built our country on primarily a Judeo-Christian ethic, okay? And that's engaging all of the religions that are here. You know, I don't want to make this a religious thing. However, the reality comes down to this. You're the world's most powerful nation. And if you're not showing leadership and compassion, I don't care how strict your rules are and your guidelines and your fascist notions, but it still comes down, America has to show the world, and the world is watching, that we are a compassionate leading society.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that stops, the world will stop paying attention to America and all of its pronouncements, because that's why people come here.
We're not compassionate for our own people, though. I mean, I think that
exactly,
the world could do that. I mean, you know, it's we're not even compassionate for our own citizens, and I think the world already sees America as being a place that worships the wealthy and favors the wealthy. And has a serious class system that we kind of present a facade of America, the great democracy, all the things that Barack Obama presented to the world and people believed about America. Donald Trump is the polar opposite. You know, Barack Obama got a standing. He was a statesman, got a standing around the world. I looked at a clip of President Obama the other day, his last time speaking in Parliament in Canada, and after he spoke, they were chanting 4 more years.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that.
You know, this is the standing that we had when he was president. It's the standing that Donald Trump is president. Donald Trump, I believe, will drive the country into the ground for the people that are not the wealthiest, not that high, that other half, that 50% and up of the wealthiest people.
Right.
The people at the lower end of the spectrum, many of the people who voted for him are not going to do well. If you look with a fine tooth and really pay attention to the programs that he's putting forth, they're not going to do well. The guy that was that's going to be head of the EPA wants to dismantle the EPA.
Right.
They want to start drilling in the Arctic Circle.
Every major environmentalist is against that, and he favors it.
It's unbelievable.
You're right. The unbelievable part is like, and as Kay asked the question, what are we going to do? We must continue. As African Americans have been down this road before, we know what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to go back into our communities, our churches, our social organizations, and restructure and reengage and put seal up the foundation that was leaking and continue to keep building upon the strength of who we are as a people. We have got to continue to teach our people who we are because we don't know our history. All right,
that's true.
This is Black History Month about to begin. And you know how few people really know who Martin Luther King Jr. really was and is. And with respect to that movement that we called civil rights, we are engaged in the next 90 days, all the way through the end of March, going into April, being an opportunity to share the richness of our culture. Continue on this radio show to give the history, talk about those three women who gave NASA the opportunity to go to the moon.
Yeah.
And it was not just those three women, because if you see the movie, there were 30 women who helped to put the IBM machine actually together, who you don't even know their names.
Yeah.
You
and
see
you
what
do,
I'm saying?
You know,
because at
name.
That point, the names of the women who actually got the IBM computer to work the way it was supposed to,
yeah.
because the character that got the award nominee for Best Supporting Actress, in her role, she was instrumental in teaching herself the program method that the new IBM machine was supposed to give and help create. And notice how her department was known as computers. These were human
right.
computers.
I think it was Taraji Henson.
Taraji played the role of the woman who was in the room giving the immediate Ms. Johnson. But the character for which the woman who got the Best Supporting Actress nominee for the Octavia's character was literally the woman who trained herself how to use the new IBM system, and then she taught the 30 women that were up underneath her. So when they asked her the question, "Do you have the necessary support of individuals to help you run the programming of this computer?" She said, "Absolutely. I got 30 of them right there,
Byron,
ready to step in." Yeah,
Byron, that's happening. That's happening all over the world now, especially in the African countries too. And also, but remember, this whole movement of among black women started with Rosa Parks.
Yes.
Okay. Don't forget.
Absolutely.
Take her to light. I had an interview that I did with Rosa Parks, one-on-one, that was done in Montclair, New Jersey, at Don Miller's, an artist studio. It's the only interview of Rosa Parks in existence. And it is 17 minutes long, and I am sitting there, talking to one great woman, Rosa Parks. And that was during the time that I was at WLIB and found out that, and as a matter of fact, Rosa Parks had come to LIB, Wayne, if you remember, and talked to Percy Sutton at that time.
Right, yeah.
And
I know we're about to leave the air, but when you watch that movie, the movie that we're just talking about, the opening scene in that movie is about Sputnik. Do you know it was an African-American man who discovered Sputnik's real signal? Because everybody on the ground in Germany at that time thought the signal was coming from the ground, and Lloyd Tyke Riddick, who lives
in
New Jersey,
we're going to have to put a plug in it right there.
We're going
to put a plug in it right there. Hold on, bro.
There you go.
We're going to put a plug in it right there. We've got a minute. We got 90 seconds. So I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening to the K. Thompson Live Show once again. Time flies when we start getting into these subjects. I just happened to look up and saw that we had a minute left. So I want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to Byron Saunders again, our recurring guest, for coming and giving us a very interesting perspective. Thank you, Brother Byron.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, giving a great show. I know that next week we should talk about your mayor over there because he's having a few difficulties.
Oh, yeah.
But there it is, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Thanks, Mr. Wayne Gilman. We'll see you again. We'll talk to you again next week.
And
all the best.
You.
All right.
Thanks, Eric. I'm Kay Thompson. Tune us in next Wednesday at 8 o'clock from 8 until 9 for another exciting
episode
of K. Thompson Live. And hello to Catherine Carruthers in Texas.
All right. You can listen to us again every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. live, or you can listen to the archived episodes of the show because it is archived and it is the blogtalkradio.com/K. Thompson Live. Thanks for listening. We'll see everybody. We'll see everybody again next week. We're out of here.